From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to verse 18 of chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." It is the final phrase of the verse upon which Dr. Cairns focuses. Part of Romans chapter 1 declares that God has left mankind without excuse as to the demands of His holy law. The knowledge of God and what He requires is engraved upon every man's conscience. Yet man in his rebellion chooses to suppress that knowledge. It is that suppression of God's truth which is the foundation of sin. The phrase, "hold the truth in unrighteousness," has at least two possible interpretations, and it is with these that Dr. Cairns deals as he continues this message called Stifling God's Truth. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Pruning for Fruit-Bearing. The text is John chapter 15 and verse 2, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." This is a precious promise to one who lives for fruitfulness. At first, it seems to wear a sharp aspect. Must the fruitful bough be pruned? Must the knife cut even the best and most useful? No doubt it is so, for very much of our Lord's purging work is done by means of afflictions of one kind or another. It is not the evil, but the good who have the promise of tribulation in this life. But then, the end makes more than full amends for the painful nature of the means. If we may bring forth more fruit for our Lord, we will not mind the pruning and the loss of leafage. Still, purging is sometimes wrought by the Word apart from trial, and this takes away whatever appeared rough in the flavor of the promise. We shall by the Word be made more gracious and more useful. The Lord, who has made us, in a measure, fruit-bearing, will operate upon us till we reach a far higher degree of fertility. Is not this a great joy? Truly, there is more comfort in a promise of fruitfulness than if we had been warranted riches or health or honor. Lord Jesus, speedily fulfill thy gracious word to me, and cause me to abound in fruit to thy praise.
This way is good.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
In creation, God reveals, manifests, makes plain His goodness, His wisdom, and His power. At least that. This is the truth that sinners hold in unrighteousness. Now, what does it mean that they hold it in unrighteousness? The first meaning is, the word means hold in the sense of possess. They possess the knowledge of the true God, but they pervert it by the sinful use that they make of it. Is the text saying that? I believe you've only got to read on down through the context and you'll see that's precisely what the text is saying. It's saying that all men, every nation that ever existed throughout history, possessed the knowledge of God. Not going to anticipate what we'll say in chapter 2, but there we discover God has gone so far as to write His law upon the heart of every man who ever lived. They possessed the knowledge of God. But what did the nations do with that knowledge? They perverted it. The whole ancient world is one vast example of it. Do you notice that with that knowledge, men never arrived at the true worship of God or the worship of the true God? From that they devolved or developed a whole system of theology that was wicked, idolatrous, and a denial of everything that God had ever revealed about Himself. The modern world is no better than the ancient. Men possess the knowledge of God. That's why ultimately it is a fool's game to try to prove the existence of God to an atheist. You may as well try to prove His own existence to him. For at the heart, He knows the one as much as He knows the other. They possessed the knowledge of the truth. And they put it to a sinful use. But most commentators believe that the word here means they hold it down in the sense of suppressing. In fact, some translations actually use that word. They suppress the truth. That is a little strong, probably, because it gives the idea that they're successful. And of course they're not. That's the whole point of this passage. Thomas Chalmers had the idea, he gave the word stifle. And I think that's as good a translation then as any. They hindered. They stifled. They stifled the truth in unrighteousness. The truth that God has stamped on all creation. They stifle its witness. In order that they may escape God's authority over them. In order that they may break, as they think, free from the stipulations of God, His law, His word, and indeed His gospel. They stifle the witness. And you'll see why I say both must be true. They couldn't stifle it if they didn't possess it, could they? That's why I'm somewhat amazed at learned commentators saying it cannot mean they possess the truth in unrighteousness. I submit if they don't possess it, they can't stifle it. And this is what they're doing. Now verse 19 starts with the word because. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God hath showed it or manifested it unto them. Because. You'll just have to bear with me here. What does that mean? It seems it's a very simple word. I mean, who can doubt what because means? Well, just stay with me a moment. What does it mean? It may well mean that the wrath of God is revealed because the revelation that men stifled, corrupted, and ultimately repudiated was crystal clear. And because of what they did with a clear revelation, God's wrath was excited against them. On the other hand, it may well mean that we can say that they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They stifle the truth. We may say that of them. Because again, the revelation is crystal clear. Now, both of these make perfectly good sense. And both of them are true. God's wrath against men is revealed Because they have rejected and perverted the revelation of His truth. Let me make that clear. The whole world is justly subject to the wrath of God. There is this crazy, hazy notion running around today that God could not justly be angry with the heathen who have never heard of Jesus Christ. And they have therefore, we are told, never rejected Jesus Christ. We are told that now the only sin that can send a man to hell is the rejection of Jesus Christ. You realize what that means, of course. That would mean that the best you could do for the heathen nations is never give them the gospel. If that's the only sin that can damn a man, then don't even let him know of it. But that's not the only sin that can damn a man. God's wrath has been, is being, and will eternally be revealed against this world that has taken the first great revelation that God has given of Himself and has perverted it and turned from the knowledge and the worship of the one true God. That is the basis of universal condemnation. Of course, we can go further and say, if God so judges men who reject and pervert the revelation in sun and moon and stars, in the creation around them and within them, if God so judges men for rejecting and perverting that revelation, what will His judgment be on those who reject and pervert the greater revelation that He has given in His Word? I think of the book of Hosea chapter 8 and verse 12. I have written unto him the great things of my law, and they were counted as a strange thing. Some of you would need to take very much to heart what Hosea is saying there. For I tell you, if you trample God's revelation of His grace beneath your feet, you will undoubtedly leave yourself open to nothing but the wrath of a holy God. But, however, I think that it would be true to say that the construction of the rest of the verses would lead to this idea. We can say man stifled God's truth. We can make that criticism, render that judgment of them, because the revelation is crystal clear. I want you to understand this. Man has not stumbled into the present mess in which the world is. Man has boldly walked into it by deliberately, willfully, wantonly, selfishly denying, perverting, or rejecting God's revelation of Himself. And the verses that follow, verse 18 and 19, right throughout the remainder of this chapter, will fill out this theme. In these verses, actually, the words ungodliness and unrighteousness will provide an easy way of seeing how the argument progresses. From verse 19 through verse 23, the verses we read tonight, we will see there the emphasis upon ungodliness. That is the repudiation of God and His truth. When we get to verses 24 to 32, the emphasis there will be upon unrighteousness, the wickedness that always follows ungodliness. And in both sections, you'll see the wrath of God. In our section, they're without excuse. They're without excuse. It's not a place to hide. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and there is no hiding place for sinners for their ungodliness. Verse 24 and following, the wrath of God is revealed against their unrighteousness, And three times there we will read, God gave them up. Some of the most terrible words in all of the Scripture. So in both, the wrath of God is plain. Now tonight what we want to do is very simply to see how men stifle the witness of the truth of God. How sinners stifle the witness of God's truth. Now let's start at the beginning. And we're going to deal with God's revelation of His truth. That is, the truth about Himself. And then, if time permits, we're going to look at man's reaction to that revelation. And what we will not attempt to do tonight, but which will come up in a future study, is God's retribution upon that reaction, and that's from verse 24 onwards. So that's a roadmap, more or less, of where we're going. The revelation that God gives of Himself. That's first, God's revelation of truth. Now there are some very important statements here in these verses that we've been reading together. Let me tell you that anybody who wishes to understand the state of the world as we live in it today must start here. If you want to understand how the world got to be where it is, this is where you come. This is one of those seminal portions of Scripture. It is so important. Its shadow reaches to every doctrine of the New Testament. In fact, you'll see that Paul lays it here as the foundation of his exposition of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is important. But again, let me make it clear, if you want to understand the world in which you live, if you want to understand what's happening today, then this is where you start. Let me go a little further, though I don't want to get into this. There's an awful lot talk today about having a proper worldview. I remember a fellow coming here one night and asking me about my worldview. I want to tell you, I get a little perturbed when I hear that sort of jargon. Your worldview. Listen, this is my worldview. Right here. And anybody who does not understand the world in which we live through the lenses of Romans chapter 1 does not understand this world. This tells you how our society got to be where it is. This gives you God's synopsis of the totality of human history. This gives you God's understanding, which is a perfect understanding, of human psychology, of the human will, the workings of the heart of man. It shows you what God thinks about religion. It tells you all you need to know about how we got to where we are today. So this is certainly a most important passage.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.